Before we get started, folks, it's important to know that this episode contains some strong and explicit language that may not be suitable for all the listeners. So if you've got your kiddos in the crowd, this might not be the episode for them. We thought about censoring it, but we decided we couldn't, not in good faith, because this episode is fundamentally about free speech and language. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you for tuning in. If you check the headlines or the title of your podcast before you listen to them, you will know that this is episode 2 of a 2-part series. If you have not heard episode 1, please don't delay. Click pause. Go listen to episode 1. You'll want to catch up. Hi, I'm Ben.
Hey, it's me, Noel, in all my microphonic glory.
You sound wonderful,
my
friend.
Thank you. It's my dulcet tones.
Your dulcet tones, yeah. So we had, as we said, a little bit of a technical difficulty in the first episode.
Yeah, hopefully you could hear me bleeding into another mic, but it's just not as high fidelity as this is. Listen to me leaning into the mic.
Well done.
And thank you, buddy.
So we are, of course, always accompanied by a super producer to help us save the show today. That is our guest super producer, Paul Deccant. However, we still hold a very special place in our hearts for our super producer, Casey Pegram.
And a glint in our eye.
And a swing in our step.
Mm-hmm. And we are also joined today by our incredible guest, Wayne Fetterman, who had some incredible things to say about the history of stand-up, the storied careers of Lenny Bruce, and today, specifically, George Carlin.
And without further ado, let's get the show on the road.
This is incredible. I am still like, it's amazing. This all happened when I was a kid. So it was just great. George Carlin, again, who was, you know, a beneficiary of Lenny Bruce's expansion of language. And there was a number of comedians. Like, it allowed Red Fox and Richard Pryor to speak in their street vernacular without getting arrested. You know, just like, I don't know. This is the way I talk on the corner when I'm making people laugh. I think I can bring this on stage. But Carlin was like, I don't know what indecent or means exactly. So I'm going to come up with a list of words you can never say on television.
Right.
And those words, I'm going to say them right now.
Yeah,
if
please,
you don't mind.
Please do.
This is in order. It's shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. So that was the original bit of his. And he later was like, it's weird that I put motherfucker in there because I already said fuck earlier, which is a version of it. Mm-hmm. But he just liked the rhythm of it. And I just need to say this because it's very important to the whole story. George Carlin didn't want to be a comedian. George Carlin wanted to be a famous actor movie star. And his idol was a guy named Danny Kaye. And Danny Kaye was known for these very twisty songs and speeches where he would have high level of verbal acuity.
Yeah, yeah. Just to interject real quick, I'm so glad you mentioned Danny Kaye, Wayne, because
go ahead.
He is one of the actors I loved growing up, especially in the original version of Walter Mitty. So,
of course.
I'm totally familiar with that turn of phrase. So that was Carlin's sort of North Star for a while?
100%. It was his North Star until he realized that he hated acting for kind of the reasons that we spoke about earlier, that he didn't like authority, you know? Mm. So, like, if there's a director on a set telling him to stand here and say this, he's not going to like that. He didn't realize it at the time. He was like, oh, I'd rather just write and say my own stuff, you know, and be completely free of it. Even when he hosted Saturday Night Live, he said to Lorne Michaels, I don't want to be in these sketches. I don't want to rehearse these things. Can I just do my comedy and, you know, and bring my brain and my mouth? And that'll be good. That'll be good. And he's the first host of the first Saturday Night Live in, you know, whatever, 1975, I believe. So anyway, so that ended his Danny Kaye dream. But this bit, the shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits, has a certain Gilbert and Sullivan rhythm to it that he loved. And that was part of the bit. That's what made that, as well as these words.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he did this bit on an album called Class Clown, came out in 1972. The next year, he does another album called Occupation Fool, and he expands on it, and he calls it The Filthy Words. This is what happens. There's a public radio station, or excuse me, not public radio, at Pacifica. What is that? How would you describe Pacifica, that network? College?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
yeah, they're certainly not like a top 40. Like,
right, they're kind of alternative for their day, mm-hmm. you know?
Right, I would say progressive radio station.
There we go.
In New York, again, in New York. You know, the vanguard of progressivism, WBAI, and they're doing a whole thing about just language and the hypocrisy of language and where's this thing. And so they play Filthy Words, which is kind of an expansion. He talks about shit a lot. Shit face, thing. What is, you know, shit kicker and all of that. Some guy named, John Douglas. I don't remember that, but I wrote it down. He hears it in his car with his 15-year-old son. Again, we're going to go back to youth. Remember that statute?
Yeah.
Youth and others. And he calls the FC. This is in the middle of the afternoon. They play it. And WBAI says, look, this might be offensive, but he's just talking about words. He's just using words to talk about words and our language. So he calls the FCC, lodges a complaint. The FCC says, you're going to get a mark on your record. I think some people said it was a $100 fine. Other people said, no, I'm not sure. And basically, WBAI, Pacifica Radio, says, I'm going to sue the FCC and say this is unconstitutional because of the First Amendment for playing this George Carlin bit on the air at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon in 1973. Any questions?
I think we're with you so far, but this sounds like it's about to get quickly out of control.
Right. Guess what? The U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C., you may be familiar with that court. Brett Kavanaugh was just on that court. Merrick Garland is on that court. That's considered the highest up to right below the Supreme Court, the penultimate court, right?
Mm, yeah.
They agree with Pacifica. They're like, yeah. This is too broad a definition of what's indecent or obscene, and we're going to strike down this fine or this mark on your record. So guess what? They bring it to the Supreme Court, and in a 5-4 decision, this is George Carlin, a ninth grade dropout, having his words read in the Supreme Court.
Wow.
About whether they think these words are indecent or obscene or what the difference between indecent or obscene is. And guess what? The court, in a very narrow 5-4 decision, says that during the daytime hours, the FCC does have the right to say you can't play anything that would be considered obscene or indecent, but after 10 o'clock, you can't.
Yeah, I think the term is safe harbor, I believe, is the term they
adopted. Yes, that is right. Yeah. Oh, I love the research you guys are doing. So that's kind of what happened. And Carlin, to the day he died, he said he always had a perverse pride in the fact that somewhere in Supreme Court, like case law, as a precedent, that his stupid routine he did on an album called, Occupation Fool, is part of the history, the legal history of the United States.
Well, let's hear a quick moment of Carlin himself talking about how he feels about words and some of this.
Love it.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with any of those words in and of themselves. They're only words. It's the context that counts. It's the user. It's the intention behind the words that makes them good or bad. The words are completely neutral. The words are innocent. I get tired of people talking about bad words and bad language. Bullshit. It's the context that makes them good or bad. The context.
We do also want to mention, we would be remiss if we skipped this part.
Yeah.
Not only is Carlin's, or excerpts of Carlin's performance and his writing part of Supreme Court case law, but he was quoted alongside Shakespeare and passages from the Bible. I think in the Bible, they mentioned the line, they were like, oh, is this cunt motherfucker stuff so bad? Because the Bible says, he who pisseth against the wall. So where's the line? And then they also mention Shakespeare saying pissing conduits. So this became an argument It started as this, again, sort of hypocritical argument about decency in the hearts and minds of the innocent and unspoiled, but it quickly became a much more, I think, a much more intelligent argument about the role of language in literature. And you know what? Good on Carlin.
Yeah.
He earned it.
No doubt. And I'm still deciding whether or not we can even release this episode fully uncensored. This is a family show, technically, Wayne,
right.
Just FYI. But I think this is valuable to the point of, like, you can't censor it. And it almost is.
It would be hypocritical of us to do so.
It would be hilariously hypocritical.
This is like we're caught in a loop here.
We are.
We've been allowed to talk about these words because now we're going to be censored. No, it's true, because Carlin couldn't say these words when he did The Tonight Show or talk about it that way. But when he did Chris Rock's HBO show, he was able to say the words. So it is interesting. I mean, it's still, you wouldn't want to say these words in front of a kid, I guess, right?
It depends on the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, some kids have really tough constitutions. My 9-year-old, who's actually here right now, has been like giving us the devil horns this whole time.
Yeah.
Saying yes.
She's headbanging. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, I don't even know. Where do we go from here? So, yeah, what's next?
Well, the Supreme Court case was in 1978, but really what happened in 1975 changed everything. And that's when HBO started doing these hour specials. They were called On Location. And the first one was done by Robert Klein at a school in the Northeast. And he's a very clean comedian. But even in that special, he goes, all right, I have total freedom to say anything. Shit. You know, he just said it just to say the word. And but then the next, in 1977, Carlin does, and if you can find this, this would be amazing, his first of 14 HBO specials. And before the special begins, they have a newscaster talking about that there's going to be some language on here that you're not used to hearing on television. And then, it gets even crazier. In the middle of an HBO special, they stop the special and run a disclaimer over the screen saying, the next portion of this comedy act will contain language that might be unsuitable for children, please. And then cuts back to Carlin at USC, just to bring it all full circle, at Bovard Auditorium, and then talks about, you know, this language and these words. And he sort of became famous for this in a way where the language and the arrests of Lenny Bruce sort of destroyed Lenny Bruce in a way. It did make him famous, but he became so consumed with it. And if you really listen to his act at the end, a lot of times he would just read court transcripts was his act.
Wow. He was obsessed, huh?
Yes, yes. Very much so. And you know, I don't know how much of the drugs were making him paranoid or whatever, but it's really sad to listen to him just go on and on about it. And in a way, it elevated Carlin's career. So in a short period of time from, let's say, 65 till, I guess, 75, like in those 10 years, it started to change. And then once we got those HBO specials, suddenly there's Red Fox doing an HBO special where, you know, he's like, you know, I don't want to repeat the language, but it's, you know, it's graphic adult entertainment. Mm-hmm. So, and that continues to this day. Although I will say this, I do feel like there's a different kind of censorship going on now in comedy a little bit. And Carlin talked about it at the end that he wouldn't play colleges. And I know Seinfeld won't. And I know Chris Rock, because people are so sensitive about hearing something that might be offensive. Like, offensive is the new indecent in our society. Again, no one's going to get arrested,
uh-huh,
but you might get shamed or lose a job because of it.
So what would be an example of that?
What do you mean? An example?
Like,
Seinfeld bit?
Or like somebody being, you know, I mean, I can think of one off the top, and this is a really extreme example, but
What's that
guy, Milo Yiannopoulos, who is a alt-right kind of Looney Tune. Like, uh-huh, you can disagree with what he has to say, but technically, you know, you would like to have him have the right to say it.
But he's also not doing comedy.
No, he's not doing comedy, but
He's not intentionally doing comedy,
but he was banned from all these college campuses. And this is not me saying, good on Milo. I'm just saying, we're talking about the First Amendment, and there are lines between, like, you know, being indecent and you know, being a supporter of violence. So the whole deal with, like, indecency is like, or freedom of speech is like, you can say what you want as long as you're not actively hurting somebody.
But freedom of speech is also not freedom from consequences.
No, that's also true. But I'm just wondering, like, this whole PC police thing, I think that's why I brought up this extreme example, because he is an extreme example of not being PC. And I don't think this is exclusively a discussion about comedy. This is about speech. So I'm just wondering.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Right. Yes, it is. And I agree. Look, I'm listening very carefully to what you're saying, and I agree with you. And I'm not that familiar with Milo's stuff other than being in his fan club, but I know a lot. But I do think it's interesting that Carlin and Seinfeld and Chris Rock won't play colleges because of how offensive some people might find what they're saying.
Which is strange.
It's not strange, because you can really get, I don't want to use the word bullied, but you can really get publicly shamed online in a big way if people think what you're saying is offensive. And again, this doesn't affect me personally, but as somebody who's like interested in the history of comedy, I feel like the walls are narrowing, as opposed to for so long in my life, they just kept broadening. And it used to be like if you made fun of Catholics or something like that and they get upset, you're like, well, F them if they can't take a joke. But that doesn't exist anymore for some people who feel like you can't make fun of a marginalized community. That's a euphemism. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's like any of that. So it's – I know this is off the track a little bit. I don't even know if you want to –
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
But I do think it is interesting that we've sort of shrunk back to a much more like – be careful walking on eggshells comedy around certain subjects that didn't exist when I was a kid. And I know Carlin said something phenomenal about it. He said that political correctness is, and I'm paraphrasing here, insipid because it comes under the guise of tolerance. It's like you're under the guise of, hey, we're just trying to make it all better for everyone. But basically what you're doing is you're saying, you can't say that.
Right.
He hated that.
It's the opposite of comedy, right? It's the opposite of what stand-up comedy
is. It's the opposite
be.
Of free speech.
Yeah, more importantly, yeah.
But he knew, you know, it was interesting that he had that side. He saw it coming, and he really railed against it in a big way.
Do you see this trend? You know, we've walked through some of the history, so let's walk toward the future. Do you see this trend escalating, or do you think it's just another cyclical thing that will fall away? I guess what I'm asking is, do we have some more Supreme Court cases in the future? If we had to guess, that would.
I don't think so, because I don't think it's about the. I don't think any government is going in. To tell you the truth, I don't know. It all depends on hate speech. Is basically what it comes down to. Is whether you think hate speech is something that should exist, or that is completely protected by the First Amendment. So, and, you know, I know you're not allowed to incite somebody. These words are so, amorphous. I know you're not allowed to do that. So I don't think this is more about, you know, vigilanteism in speech control, you know, in the same way Catholics used to do it in the, in the 40s.
It's such a slippery slope, too, because what about like things like dog whistle politics, where you have these potentially racist speakers that aren't outright saying
exactly
kill this group of people or hurt this group of people, but they're using these kind of coded words that speak to their base or what have you, and then that's interpreted. But, you know, from a legal standpoint, you can't say, oh, he said to do this, because it's all in the subtext.
Again, what is incitement?
Yeah, and it's the whole thought police thing, where it's like once you start banning words like Carlin's words, you potentially could ban any word. So it's dangerous territory, but it's also like, where does that leave us?
I strongly feel like we should not bleep this episode.
Yeah. We're just going to have to put a really strongly worded trigger warning.
Oh, I'm really sorry.
I
didn't know. Why did you make me say those words?
No, because we thought it'd be funny if you bleeped them and then said, like, do your homework. But no, we were pretty much from the start not going to.
And also, you nailed the cadence.
No, you got to have the cadence.
You can't just read the seven words in some sort
of. No, like, you have to Danny K it up a little bit.
That's true. Well, this has been illuminating, and I like that we're ending on a question. The thing about this story is that it's not over.
No.
This conversation, this conflict, this controversy continues far past the 50s and the late 40s into the future, into the new millennium.
But that's kind of what I was saying at the top of the show, where it's like, you know, comedy and this kind of thing that has this... the guise of like, oh, this is entertainment. This is light stuff. This is just to kind of pass the time. Yet we're talking about it in terms of like race riots and the use of language to like physically hurt people and incite, you know, these kind of crazy events that can happen and that we're seeing happen in the news.
And we're talking about the freedom of thought in a very real way.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, this is the first amendment to the Constitution. Like, think... they would have no idea back then, but how powerful an idea that the government shall make no laws infringing on freedom of speech. Like, that is insane that's still – I love those guys, those crazy white slave owners.
Mm.
Okay, can I do a little button for the whole episode?
Please.
Please do.
You might find interesting, or if not, who knows? But when I was on Curb Your Enthusiasm, I played a character named Dean Weinstock, and the name Weinstock was named after a comedian named Lotus Weinstock, who has since passed away. But Lotus Weinstock, and you can look her up, was Lenny Bruce's last girlfriend.
Full circle.
Full circle. I knew Lotus, too. I knew her. I did shows with her.
Holy smokes.
I know.
You know what? This is a rare moment, I think, for my co-host and I, because we stopped for a second and just stared at each other because that is a perfect ending. We've got to say that I think Ridiculous Historians listening in now, if you enjoyed this episode a fraction as much as we enjoyed this interview, then by God, we've done something right.
Yeah, seriously. And I think if you want more of this, you should check out Wayne's new podcast, which goes even deeper into the history of stand-up.
Oh, it's good.
It's really, good. Really good. And it's out there now. What are you guys, about two episodes deep? It's like a mini-series, right?
It's six episodes and we're five in. Yeah. So we're just about done. Yeah. Just about done the first season. And then we might do deep dives in the second season. But, you know. We'll see.
That's awesome.
We'd love to hear this.
I'm also envious of a show that has a clock on it. We just have to do this show forever until we die.
It's sort of a Sisyphean endeavor.
Oh.
But thank you. By the way, this is going to be a two-parter because this has been so much fun, and we already had like a nice even divide down the middle between Lenny and George. And this has just been a delight, man. Thank you so much for coming on, and we really appreciate you diving deep with us.
Noel and Ben, I got to say, it was a delight on this end as well, and I'm just glad that the Danny Kaye that we gave Danny Kaye is due, because he was quite a comedian and a big, big influence on George Carlin.
And maybe, you know, maybe we can just throw a Danny Kaye clip somewhere in this episode so you can hear the wordplay.
Yeah. I mean, he's loaded with patter songs in there, you know. I mean,
Everything is tickety-boo, tickety-boo, tickety-boo. Everything is tickety-boo on such a dreamy day. Who could be a snickety-poo, snickety-poo, snickety-poo? With the sky so blinkety-blue, it causes one to say, bless mankind, including my attackers. I'm inclined, the feeling is there so jolly well, it's absolutely crackers.
So there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks to our super producer, Paul. Thanks to our super producer, Casey.
And thanks to Alex Williams, who composed our theme. Thanks to our research folk, who we love dearly, Eves Jeffcoat and Christopher Hasiotis. And most importantly, thank you, Ben. And thank you, Wayne. This has been the best.
Thank you, Noel. And thank you very much, Wayne. We are not blowing smoke about the history of stand-up. Go check out the show. I mean, you will... I think I said it earlier. I'm officially going to be insufferable at house parties.
You're already pretty insufferable at house parties, Ben.
That's what you know. That's why I only party in the yard.
You going to take it to the next level?
Yeah, I'm going to go inside.
So see you next time, folks.
Ciao.